This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you've been with us. Make us part of your morning, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. I am Tony D. Ron Culver alongside. Again, keeping up with the theme, there's a lot of people doing dumb things. We're bringing, highlighting that throughout the show today. But I do get a little bit of levity here for you, Ron. Have you seen the video of Gordon Hayward, his gender reveal of his baby? Or the sex reveal of the baby?
Yeah, I felt the pain.
Oh, my gosh. So Boston Celtics forward Gordon Hayward, there was a video out of, you know, there's a gender reveal, sex reveal of the baby. I don't even know what it's called these days. I'm almost afraid to say it.
Gender reveal.
Gender reveal. I just want to make sure I'm doing it right. I can't keep up. So his wife, Robin, has got balloons in a box. Now, he has two girls. So this is their third child. So his wife, Robin, puts balloons in a box. They're going to do a gender reveal of the third child that's coming into the Hayward household. Yay! And the box opens up with the help of his two little daughters, and pink balloons fly out. And that means the baby sister is on the way. Baby girl number three. And luckily we have video of this, because Gordon Hayward, no matter what he says, he just didn't seem all that happy.
The only thing he should have done at that moment would have just been to pop a balloon.
That's right.
That's the feeling you had when you looked at him, was just, if he had a pin in his hand, he would have just started popping.
He looked like the guy that got the Zonk prize on Let's Make a Deal. Like, oh, behind this curtain's going to be a car. And it's like a toy car. And you're like, oh, shoot. Wham, wham, wham. And Monty Hall's like, well, sorry about that.
Yeah, I mean, I had a similar feeling when we had our third. I mean, we had two boys already. And there was a part of me was like, it'd be kind of cool to have a girl. I already got the boys.
Yeah.
You know, we were blessed with another boy, which now, you know, hindsight, I wouldn't change at all, because he's awesome.
But here's my question. There's video of this. He is an all-star player when he's healthy. He's kind of, I mean, you would say he's a star in the NBA. He's a well-known, you know. This little girl's going to grow up. She's going to see this video, right?
I think it's fine. I mean,
she's going to see this video. No, but he kicked a balloon. He kicked a pink balloon away when it was revealed that he was having another girl. He kicked the balloon away.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
By the way, you know that the third child in the Gordon Hayward household is now going to be spoiled rotten, right? Because she's going to have that video as blackmail. She'll always be able to show her dad kicking that pink balloon. Dad, when I was ready to come into this world, you kicked that pink balloon. And he's going to feel guilty, and he's going to get her whatever she wants. You're right. You know, he's not going to love her less. He just does have evidence that he kicked a pink balloon when it was revealed that she was going to be a girl. But I think those are fun. I didn't do those. I had two kids, and we didn't do that to either one. We didn't have a gender reveal on either one of the kids. I just went to the ultrasound, and the doctor just told us. I thought those would have been fun. I could have come up with a cool way to do it. Ron Culver alongside. Ron, I think you're going to like this story, because I think you and I, in the week that we started doing the show, I think we talked about the EA Sports NCAA football at least on three different shows in some capacity.
Yeah, it might mean something to us. I haven't quite figured it out yet.
Yeah, the game that had been discontinued after Denard Robinson was on the cover of NCAA Football 14. And the reason it was discontinued, many of you may remember, is that, what was it, Ed O'Bannon filed a lawsuit because his likeness was being used in a game and he didn't get any royalties, so they just cut the whole thing out. Said, oh, you know what? We're not going to be able to do this anymore.
And was there ever an NCAA basketball game?
I think there was. I think that was his gripe, but I don't really remember, because I don't remember playing that. But I think it was his gripe that he was playing an NCAA basketball game and he realized, oh, I'm not getting any any royalties from this. Look, that looks just like me. It has my same number. So this next story, this came from ESPN.com. It's kind of a nice feature article. Talks about some guys that are so dedicated to this game, they're trying to keep it alive. And even though they have football regular jobs, they watch video, they watch YouTube clips, and they pour over preseason magazines so they can build the current rosters of the football teams in the game so that they can continually update the version of the game. And they do this as a labor of love. They don't even play it. They do this as a labor of love so other people can. And one part of the story was about a guy who's responsible. Like he took 30 of the 128 teams that are in the game. And he says it takes about 25 hours to update a team. And he's got 30 of them. So he does this all night. And he wants to make it right. They do everything from the socks to the helmet. I mean, the face mask on the helmet. Any details that they can put into the game based on these athletes. They're watching every bit of film, looking at every photograph they possibly can to get this right so that people can keep this game alive and keep it updated. I think this is great. They say it's a labor of love. It better be a labor of love because that is a lot of effort to put into something. But I thought that was kind of cool that they're trying to keep it alive. Now, the guy says his wife thinks he's crazy. He says she gets up at 3 or 4 in the morning and goes, oh, you've been up all night working on that game. You're not even playing. And he's like, I'm editing. He goes, let me live. I'm living my best life right now, putting these games together. I wish this game could come back. There hasn't been a collection of minds that could come together and figure out how to do this. I mean, I guess you can't, right? I mean, players can't get paid. They can't get any money. You can't even put it. I don't think you can put money away for them for when they're out of school. They can pick it up because that is benefiting from their amateur status. I don't think we're never gonna see this game again.
NCAA just needs to change their policy.
It's got to change your policy. Got to give us this game had the fight songs in it for crying out loud.
Oh, it had everything.
I mean, when you were playing, if you wanted to be Central Michigan, you could be Central Michigan at their own stadium with their mascot, with their fight song, everything.
Listen, my cousin played football in college. He played for the University of Idaho. And it was a PlayStation 1 game, NCAA 99. I still have it. I don't have PlayStation 1. There's no way I can ever play this game again. But I kept the game just because he was in it.
He was in it. How great is that?
Well, again, I mean, it's his likeness. It's like, you know.
Yeah, they don't give you the name.
It's his number. It's his position. You know, he wasn't too upset with his ratings. This was the great thing about NCAA football. Not only did the University of Idaho win the national championship one year.
Yeah, of course they did.
He got the Heisman.
That's great. He
broke all sorts of records. It was amazing.
What position did he play?
He was a wide receiver.
Oh, that's fantastic.
He was a wide receiver when he was in college.
Like, did he play legit or was he a backup that you just
started the game? He was a legit starter. His senior year, he was a starter. Or actually his final 2 years, he was a starter for the University of Idaho. In fact, if you go back, I want to say it was the first year of the Humana. I'm going to toot his horn, and then I'm going to send this to him because it'll make him feel good. But he played in the first ever Humanitarian Bowl. And it might be like Idaho Potato Bowl or something.
The famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
It's played on the blue turf.
Yep, Boise.
I think they were playing against Southern Miss. He went on just a normal 10-yard crossing route. He got leveled. He got laid out. And somehow, some way, somebody obviously, lots of cameramen, they caught a picture of it, and he has the picture in his house where he is perfectly, he's still holding onto the ball, but he is horizontal to the ground.
Oh, my gosh.
And about 4 feet off the turf.
Oh.
He probably, in some way, somehow, dodge concussion protocol because it wasn't necessary at that time.
Yeah, probably.
He did come back into the game and caught the game-winning touchdown.
Oh, wow.
And, he had the high and low of a game all wrapped up in one. And won, they got a humanitarian bowl. They actually came back to win that game. And the game was, like, stupid. It was, like, you know, I think the final score each team, like, might have been in the 50s or the 40s. It was ridiculous. No defense.
Yeah. So he's in the game.
But he is in the game. And, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
1 year, one season that I was playing, he won the Heisman.
That's excellent. That's excellent. That's what the game had. It's like you could build, you know, like a recruiting dynasty mode. It had a Heisman mode, you know, obviously lead your team to a national championship type of thing. There was all sorts of different ways that you added some realism to the game. It was great. I mean, it really was. You think about, you know, the amount of work that it would put into putting in fight songs and getting the colors right and getting the mascots correct and the stadium look and everything along those lines. And, you know, look, on the one hand, I completely understand what Ed O'Bannon was saying, right? He didn't get a nickel for this, and he's in the game.
And it's racking up millions of dollars.
Yeah. And, yeah, he was entitled to some of that. I mean, all the players were entitled to some of that. And they didn't even give, like, because you weren't on the cover of the game until you graduated.
Yeah, you had to be out of school.
You were out of school, but I don't even think they gave you a cut of that then. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think Tim Tebow ever got any money for NCAA Football 11.
Probably right. And how would that work? I mean, you can think about it. There's, what, 120-some-odd teams in NCAA?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Not to mention, I mean, you could schedule against Division II games, Division II teams, even though it just wouldn't say their name.
God, how much memory did that thing need? I mean, holy cow.
Incredible. But you could schedule against Division II games, so if you... In reality, I mean, you got to pay those guys as well. How much would the cut be after it's
all
said and
done?
See,
that's the thing. We're not talking like these guys aren't going to get rich off of this. I mean, they're splitting that up with it's 128 schools with, like, you know, 100 players on every roster. I mean, you're dividing it all up like in that capacity. And there's, you know, a cut for the designers and a cut for the programmers and a little bit of profit and all that other stuff. But so we're not talking about each player making, you know, life changing money here. But I mean,
yeah, I mean, at the problem is getting a $1,000 check.
Maybe. And that's, you know, and that's the thing when you think about it, the whole structure of the NCAA and amateur athletics, because this is the slippery slope that they can't make an exception for this. Right. So let's say there was a business plan on the table that said, we're going to make this game again. We're going to put the royalties for every player that's in this game, we're going to put it in an escrow account or something for them to get when they're done with school. You could say, okay, they're not getting it while they're in school, so it's not a necessary benefit. All those things that scare the hell out of the NCAA when it comes to paying athletes. But even then is a slippery slope, because then you can have schools start going, well, if we're going to do that, then I'll have a student athlete mop the floor of the dormitory and pay him $10,000 and put that in the escrow. I mean, you know what I mean? It's the slippery slope they warn you about. And because of that, this pretty cool thing that didn't hurt anybody, nobody was mad. Like Ed O'Bannon wasn't mad he was in the game. Ed O'Bannon was mad because he didn't get paid to be in the game. But nobody was mad that they took the likenesses and used them without permission. Most people were thrilled to be a part of the game. I mean, I'm sure there were some people that were like, I didn't want to be a part of this. But for the most part, it was everybody involved. It's good for the sport. It's good for the consumers. It was good for the company. It was good for the student athletes. Like you said, they're in a video game. How great is that? But what is preventing a game like that from being out? It's this sort of mentality that you can't make a nickel. I mean, you can't make a nickel being a college athlete in America. Not a dime. And if you make a dime, that is a dime you don't deserve, and all hell's got to break loose. It's something that I wish would be amended. It doesn't have to be blown to pieces, but I wish it was changed in some capacity so that something like this could come back. Because it was a great game. It was a ton of fun.
It was a ton of fun.
It was a ton of fun. And now we don't get it anymore. Again, I don't fault them at all for that. But at the same time, it's took away my childhood. Took away my joy.
At the same time, you're like, come on, there was a lousy grand that you were probably going to get from
exactly.
It. Just a grand.
I mean, my God, I've said this before a million times. When I was a kid, the only game that we had that came even close to giving you a real person in the mid-80s was Dr. J versus Larry Bird. It was an EA Sports game. I had the Commodore 64. and you could break a backboard. It was great. But for the most part, we had always dreamed as kids of the day we could actually be players that we knew, teams that we knew.
Yeah, I mean, and then I think the closest I had might have been double dribble.
Double dribble, yeah.
Which had, you know, only had four teams. It was New York, Chicago, L.A., and Boston.
And they were kind of in the colors of the team.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they looked like the uniforms, you know.
Except the New York or the L.A. mascot, it's a little iffy. Kind of looked like a long, skinny blue thing.
Tecmo Bowl was the
battery operated boyfriend, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. I gotcha. Tecmo Bowl was the other one. That was good.
Well, that was the first one where you actually got to be your
heroes.
You
got to be the players, right? You got to be Bo Jackson. And
even though
else.
I hate the Raiders, God, that team was good.
That was great. That was absolutely great.
Bo Jackson was unstoppable.
I think the guys in this story who have done this, who kept the game alive in some capacity, it's a lot of work. But God bless you. If you love it, do it. It sounds cool. I'm glad they're doing it. If it's providing some happiness to people, that's fantastic. I mean, as long as you give Ed O'Bannon his cut, I guess. Yeah, so, more I'm looking at it, it was a $60 million settlement. That's kind of a good chunk of change. Oh, it's a lot of players, though. That's a lot of players that got involved in that. All right, 800-777-2907. Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, with two N's on the Ron, on SB Nation AM.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This is what I like about Ron. Not only is he, does the show with me, but we also get a man on the street perspective. Yesterday at the mall, and malls across America were flooded with kids for this Build-A-Bear promotion. I didn't even know it was a Build-A-Bear promotion until I saw it on Twitter. The lines were like circling the malls, but you were actually at a mall. Did you see?
Yesterday was my wife's birthday, and we went to go pick up her gift. And when we got there, I see this long line, and I'm asking the guy, I'm like, what, the store employee, I'm like, what is going on? He had no clue what was going on. He said, I just think it has something to do with Build-A-Bear. So as soon as we were finished, purchasing my wife's birthday gift, I told my boys, I said, let's go. We got to go take a look. I'm so curious of why these people are standing in line. I'm hoping there's a celebrity sighting.
Oh, yeah.
Every once in a while. I remember at this mall that we went to a couple of years ago, Kevin Hart was signing something there, and so he was in a bookstore signing, and then it's also the same mall that had the where Johnny Manziel was at a memorabilia shop signing autographs.
Oh, yeah,
it was at that mall.
Sure.
So I'm hoping it was something like that. Like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to stand in line to get anything autographed, but I'm like, hey, kids, look. You know who that is. So we walk down. We're following this line. This line's going on. Feels like a quarter of a mile inside the mall. It just keeps going and going and going. And there's just parents. Maybe back this up. It's moms and kids. That's all it is. And a lot of times it was like three kids per one mom. And you could just see the look. There's not enough wine in the world that's going to help these moms out as soon as they get home. And we get there, and the promotion is at Build-A-Bear. The promotion was pay your age for any bear.
Oh, so if you brought a five-year-old, you could get a Build-A-Bear for $5.
Yes. If you had a two-year-old, you can get a Build-A-Bear for $2.
Oh, my God, they are asking for trouble.
And if I have three boys. My son did the math really quick. He was like, Dad, we got to stand in line. We can get three bears for under $20. I got a 10, 7, and a 1.
Wow.
So he did the
And you said, quickly. Absolutely, son, because I love you so much, I will give you this Build-A-Bear.
I said, hell no. Nah. I said,
and my kid cried and cried and cried.
No, it quickly became a conversation. I said, son, you got to learn one thing. Time is money. How much time or how much is your time worth to stand in this line? This line had to be, no joke, at least 5 hours long.
I saw this on Twitter, man. I saw they were posting pictures of malls. I saw at least three or four of them, I think, and they were all miles long. I mean, I'm not kidding. All the way down. It was very similar to the situation where people didn't know. People couldn't tell what it was for because the line was so far away from the Build-A-Bear that they were like, we don't even know what it is. Let's just follow along this long, lengthy trail of people to find out where it ends up. And it ended up at the Build-A-Bear. I mean, there had to have been a lot of disappointed kids yesterday. Cause I know there were a lot of moms not going like, no, we ain't staying in this. No chance.
No way. There's no way I was going to do it. I'm telling them, like, listen, I'd say, okay, we stand in this line. First of all, it's mom's birthday. I don't think she's going to be happy that, hey, mom, you know, sorry, we missed your birthday. We decided to stand in a Build-A-Bear line. The second thing was my son had baseball practice later on that evening. I said, son, here's the thing. I could leave you here. I'll go home. I'll get your stuff. By the time you actually get to the front door, I got to pull you out because we got to go to practice.
Yeah, no kidding.
I said, I mean,
was anybody turned away like in terms, I mean, what do you do when you're closing? You go, that's it. We're done. We close at 5 or whatever they close at.
Yeah,
close
I don't know.
You know, I'm sorry. We're not, no more Build-A-Bear.
Can you riot at a Build-A-Bear?
I don't know. Because
start
I'm thinking.
Start throwing fluff all over the place?
Exactly. Get into those machines and start throwing stuff everywhere? I mean, the employees must have been like, oh, I love.
Yeah, they.
You're losing their minds.
How many called them sick? How many called them sick? That's all I
want. What bear do you want? What's your name? Susan. What bear?
What about that one that ties every single, you know, there's like that one person that ties.
Exactly.
Her fingers must be, I hope they gave her the day off today.
Oh, God, that's awful. Oh, God. So brilliant, I mean, brilliant on their part, or was it a careless promotion? Well, unlike the Montgomery Biscuits, who were brilliant. Is this brilliant?
I don't know if it's brilliant.
A lot of publicity.
You know what? It's probably brilliant on their part because a lot of times you go in there and you'll buy, if you do it, you buy a bear, one bear, and then maybe you'll buy a shirt.
Yeah, you buy like some gear to go with the bear.
Accessories are cheap. And so maybe they made up. Maybe they had an uptick in accessory charges. I don't know.
All right, just saw the headline of an article about it. And I love this. It says, Build-A-Bear promotion ends in chaos.
I believe
chaos. Oh my God! Chaos!
You have starving, screaming kids standing in line for 4 hours, and if you didn't get in to get your bear, there better be a voucher.
Absolutely, there better be. Absolutely.
And why not just do it that way? Why not say, "Hey, listen, you made it to the line." Case in point, Little Caesars? Sorry, I'm giving out product placement here. Little Caesars. They had a promotion where because 16 beat a 1 seed. You remember this promotion?
Yep, exactly.
And you get free lunch on them if a 16 seed was to beat a 1 seed. They did it almost perfectly. I said, you know what? There's one by my house. I'm going to swing by. I don't even know what will happen. They gave me a coupon. Like, they had a guy standing outside and said, here's your coupon. It's good for, I think it wasn't just, it just didn't have to be that day. It could be up to like 4 days after or something like that. But you had to come within that window to pick up your free pizza. That way they didn't have a madhouse, a mad rush of people
that's
standing
what they
outside.
Done here.
They should have done that there. That way you don't have, I mean, I felt so bad for these moms standing with their kids. It's like, I know, I get it. I'm a parent. I would.
Man, there's nothing worse, man. There's nothing worse than long lines. Like when we go to amusement parks and we have to, my kid wants to ride a ride and it's this 2 hour wait from this point. I'm like, God, really?
Another time.
And he's like, we got to do this, Dad. I can't leave the park without riding this. I'm like, okay. Build-A-Bear like sent out a tweet that said, per local authorities, we cannot accept additional guests at our locations due to crowd safety concerns. We have closed lines in our stores. We understand some guests are disappointed. Disappointed is a light word, all right? A light word for this situation. And we will reach out directly as soon as possible. Disappointed. Disappointed is, oh, man, I was really hoping that you had the filet mignon on the menu tonight. Oh, well, I guess I'll take the ribeye. That's disappointed. Disappointed is not waiting 4 hours and getting to the end and going, that's it. We're done. No, we're done. Out. No
bears. We're out of fluff.
We're out of fluff. Goodbye. Can't take you in. Sorry. Safety concerns. Shut the doors. Close them up. That's not disappointed. Trust me. That's not disappointed. Holy mackerel. Well done, Build-A-Bear. Well done. Toys R Us is closed, but Build-A-Bear's rolling along. Excellent work. It's Tony D. It is Ron Culver. It's SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I couldn't help myself, Ron. I dug deeper into that Build-A-Bear thing, and people got vouchers. They can use until August 31st.
Thank God. They should have just done that from the get-go.
Yeah, they should have. You know, that would have been cool. You know what? Yeah.
Then I would have stood in line for a voucher.
What if, exactly. There could have been a point to say, well, if you're in line by 3 o'clock, you get a voucher. I don't know the logistics.
No, that was what Little Caesars did. You had to come during lunchtime. It was like a 3-hour window you had to go to get your free lunch. And if you couldn't get it right there, they gave you a coupon for that free lunch.
Right.
But it was just a 3-hour window. Could have done the same thing, Build-A-Bear.
All right. So if you braved the heat or was in line to get your kid a bear, you get a voucher. You got to get to have a bear. Did you see more about this LeSean McCoy story? The police report or the 911 call has been released.
Has it really?
Okay. Remember we talked about this earlier this week? I said, boy, this is a little too fishy for me. I was like, I don't want to say that she's not telling the truth, but it seems a little fishy. But
too well thought out.
It's too well thought out. But here's a couple of things that I'm now finding out from this detailed story, because it's more information is coming out. All right, so the robbers came into, and if you don't know what we're talking about, LeSean McCoy has been accused of doing many, many things due to an Instagram post after his ex-girlfriend was beaten by robbers at a house he owns, in which they were looking for what she says was specific jewelry. Jewelry that he had asked many times to get back. And they beat her in the face and she went to the hospital. A friend of hers went online, posted this. I can't believe you did this to my best friend, accused him of beating the dog, beating his child. What else? Steroid use, drug use, beating her. So the police report comes out. Now she basically says in the call, I think this has something to do with my ex. And she brings out a couple of details. One, the jewelry that he was asking back were apparently loaner jewelry, very high-end loaner jewelry. And so I can see why he needed to give that back. And she wouldn't give it back. The robber took a bracelet off of her that was one of the said pieces. But the other thing that she mentioned to the police were they went out the front door of the house. And the reason that they went out the front door of the house, now robbers, they don't go out the front door of the house, but she said they knew there was not a security camera at the front door of the home. And that's why they went out the front door. I don't know if any of this is true. I don't know if any of this is true. These could have been just robbers.
So there's security cameras all throughout the house.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Door.
That's what I said, right? I mean, why wouldn't you have one at the front door? Because, you know, what is it? Isn't it true?
How many Amazon boxes are they missing?
No kidding. Isn't it true that like robbers who want to rob your house, I mean, they don't want to hurt you, but they just want to rob your house, will sometimes come to your house and, you know, ring the doorbell or just see if you're home and, you know, pretend to be somebody. And then they find out you're not home and they go, okay. But what is stopping a lot of that is because people are putting security cameras. They're getting these security systems for their homes. And one of the places the camera is at the front door. So that you're getting a video of people who are at your front door. So apparently he doesn't have one at his front door of his house. And she walked out of the front house. Now, listen, everything that she says could be 100% true, but it could be also 100% false. It is possible that people just went into the home, knew it was LeSean McCoy's house, said, oh, you know what? It's got to be some expensive stuff in there. Went in, robbed her, maybe hit her with a gun and took whatever was available, went out, left. And then she said, aha, he obviously orchestrated this. And I'll just say the following things. I don't know. But if she is telling the truth, LeSean McCoy is going to have to answer some questions. Because it does seem a little bit more and more fishy. The jewelry thing does. The jewelry thing seems a little suspect to me, right? Because this is where you could get the suspicions really cranked up to 11, to use a Spinal Tap term. If you can somehow, I don't know how you prove this, though. How do you prove this? But if you can somehow make the case that they were looking for specific pieces of jewelry and that sticks, then LeSean McCoy is going to have to answer some questions. But maybe they were just in thinking, this is a rich person's house. They got to have expensive stuff. So they went in and said, we want your cash and jewelry. And they took the jewelry. Maybe they took it all. Who knows? Maybe they took the expensive stuff. I don't know. But this story ain't going away, and now it's getting more and more detailed.
Yeah, that's going to carry on. It'll be probably story one throughout the preseason. Hopefully it's wrapped up before the start of the season so we can talk actual NFL, not be bothered with these stories.
Because, again, we said this earlier in the week when it came out, you got the NFL having to respond almost to any accusation that gets put out there because, one, they have a they have a Reuben Foster situation, right? If it comes out, he had nothing to do with this. So you don't want to go overboard, but you also can't ignore it. So you have a woman who's accusing LeSean McCoy of doing all these things, posts it on Instagram, gets taken down, and now you got the NFL going, well, we can't not do something. Like, we can't just say it's irrelevant. It forces us to do something. Well, do what? Well, I guess an investigation. Well, does that mean we can investigate anybody for anything at any time? Like if a quarterback ignores my kid for an autograph, I can just throw something on Twitter and see if it sticks? Is that what we're doing?
I mean, we're leading down that path.
Yeah, is that the world we want to live in now?
You know, if a quarterback is enjoying a nice meal out with some friends and doesn't want to be bothered at that point, we can turn it around and say, God, this guy was just a complete you-know-what.
And he started cursing at us and started yelling
slamming,
at his wife.
Yeah, started slamming him and bashing him on Twitter.
Yeah, and then just see where it goes.
Social media.
Yeah. I mean, how much investigative power does the league have where they can just knock this stuff out? They can't. And so to me, that was the slippery slope that I was talking about earlier this week, which is I'm not saying she's lying. I'm not saying she's not to be believed. If he orchestrated men to go to the house to rob her of the jewelry that he needed to return, all right, then fine. Go through all the process you have to do to get him out, then he probably won't play again. But if she's making this up, if she's lying, the NFL's got a problem because it's already had this problem with Reuben Foster, right? And remember, Jerry Jones was screaming about this with Ezekiel Elliott, and he got suspended anyway. It's that, some of these guys do bad things, but some of these guys get accused of doing things they don't do. It's the nature of having money and being in the public eye.
Or getting together with that one person who has a vendetta.
Yeah.
What is it? No hath fury like a woman scorned or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that?
That's the other thing, right? Date a gal. You don't want to be around the gal anymore. I mean, look.
She's the ex-girlfriend living in one of his houses. I mean, he's still...
And he's trying to break up with her, and she won't go away.
He's still taking care of her. She still has keys somehow. I would just end up selling
the
house.
She lives in a house he owns.
Exactly.
He can't get rid of her. She's staying in a house he pays for.
But it's
he
not
owns.
Like that. It's not that he can't get rid of her. She hasn't gotten the message. She's not leaving. She doesn't understand that, hey, it's over.
Yeah.
She hasn't moved on yet. So that's where also you kind of, I don't want to say it because if I'm absolutely wrong about this, then, there's egg on my face. I'm fine with that. But it really seems that this whole story is too orchestrated, too surreal for it to be completely 100% possible. I'm not saying McCoy didn't have anything to do with it. Maybe there was some tie-in, but it feels like that Criminal Minds episode or a Law and Order episode where we all blame the guy because that's what happens, and then it slowly turns around and comes out that, oh no, she orchestrated, he was innocent the entire time.
Exactly.
Falsely
imprisoned. Right. Well, here's the other question I have. Okay. And again, I don't know how this stuff works because I don't have high-end jewelry or borrow high-end jewelry, okay? So I don't know how
this
world works.
I know you live the baller lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah. But if you are – you're a celebrity. This happens all the time, right? Where you're a celebrity, they'll loan you jewelry to wear so your loved one or you get a nice watch, you get $100,000 necklace for your wife or whatever it is. They'll loan it to you. You get seen with it. Then you give it back. Technically, the piece of jewelry that he's after, doesn't that belong to whoever loaned it to him? And can't they just get file a police report and say, look, we need this back. She has it. It's not hers. She has to give it back. She's refusing to give it back. And we're sorry to bother you with this, Alpharetta Police Department, but we need this back. She can't have it. It's not hers. And they go and get it. And they find her and say, listen, these items, we got to have them. Please give them back to us. They're not yours. And she goes, okay. I mean, to me, it doesn't, I mean, look, again, I don't live in this world of high-end jewelry, so I don't know how it works. Maybe they say, nope, you better bring it back to us or we're charging you for it. I don't care how you bring it back to us, but you're bringing it back to us. But even then, he could still file a police report and say she has it and she's not supposed to have it. But at the same time, this is the dumbest criminal act if it is true. If it is true, this is the stupidest thing I've seen from a criminal mind. We're gonna live in a world where random people just walk up to a house and like, hey, make sure I need the tennis bracelet, I need this or necklace, and the one with the three diamonds, not the four diamonds. And also, don't you have like a brooch? It's got like a ruby on it, and it looks supposed to look like a tree.
Yeah, even Fletch figured out that he was in trouble when he was asked to be, you know, go murder someone.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
Yeah, that scenario has been played out so many times in movies. Oh, it's never had the right. And I
never,
you know,
ever,
that
ever.
They've caught at least an episode or two once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. Never, ever, ever. Oh, that story is so weird. It's so weird. Oh, I can't wait. I'm with you, man. You get these off-season stories, they drive you crazy, and you just want the training camp to start, and we can start breaking down which backup quarterback is going to have the most influence on the AFC South. That's what I want.
I just want to start, you know, critiquing Hard Knocks.
Oh, I can't wait for Hard Knocks this year. I'm not a Hard Knocks guy, but
that's what's first for us, critiquing Hard Knocks.
I can't wait for Hard Knocks this year with the Cleveland Browns. I can't wait to see this.
That was a good choice. That was a good choice.
I usually don't watch Hard Knocks. I watched the first couple of years, then it seemed like the same formula, and I was getting, and then, but I could listen to Liev Schreiber read the Bible. I mean, I could listen to read anything. I mean, he does a great job with the narration.
That man crush alert right there.
A little bit, yeah. Ray Donovan? Come on, man. Why not? but at the same time, it seems like the same storylines. It's just like just replace the team, and it's usually the same storyline. You know? I mean, he does that same kind of, everybody's trying to make the team, but only a handful can make it. One of them is Bob Jones. He once started as a cash boy at a 7-Eleven, and now he's trying to be the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. And then he's like, ever since I was a boy, I wanted to play quarterback. This is the toughest week of his life as he breaks down the game film to try to get better week in and week out. But the dreaded call to the coach's office could mean the end of everything. And then he goes in there and they're like, hey, man, we want to tell you, we appreciate everything you've done for us. We think the world of you, man, but it's a numbers game. The numbers just don't add up, and we got to let you go. Oh, I just want to thank you, man, for everything. I really appreciate it. And they leave. How come we never see the guy that goes, oh, no, we're not. No, we are not going to be letting me go today. Uh-uh. No, 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 no. Did you see the way Mike missed that block? We are not letting me go today. Uh-uh.
And
I ain't
furthermore,
leaving.
I'm taking this playbook.
I'm taking the playbook. No, no, no. I'm walking out with this playbook. Goodbye. Yeah, we never see that guy, right? It's all civil.
To shake hands, part ways.
Couldn't they find the one rogue athlete that's at least willing to do this? The one rogue athlete that's like, no, when you get cut, we want you to go crazy. Right? And he goes, okay, like how crazy do you want me to go? Well, if you just start flinging some papers and just
flip
like,
the desk over. Come
flip
on.
Flip the desk. Make them scared. Make the coach. Make them like reach for the phone to call security. And you're like, don't bother. Don't bother. I'm leaving. I'm walking. Don't worry. But I'll be back.
Now, I'm
and when
go
I do,
postal. I'm going to come back in 5 minutes.
Come back. I'll be back. Just do that. Just bring some extra excitement into Hard Knocks. But I'm looking forward to the Browns, man. I am so looking forward to the Browns, man.
Do you think it starts off with them all sitting in a circle saying each other's names?
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Like you do it in Little League. Because that's what.
Exactly. Or like a Matthew McConaughey bit was like, I need names on the helmet. Names on the helmet.
Totally.
That's such a dumpster fire of a franchise. I can't wait till it's all exposed on television. It's going to be great. Oh, Hard Knocks. When's the first episode? Now I'm pumped up for it.
I don't
like know. First week of August,
yeah,
right?
It's usually in August.
Oh, it's great. That music, too. Oh, ba-na-na-na, na-na-na-na. Oh, it's great. How long have they been doing that? They've been doing that for 15 years, I think.
Forever.
That show's been on a long time, man. Yep. It's been a show a long time. Back after this on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Ron, I had to look it up because we were just talking about Hard Knocks. The series started in 2001 with the Baltimore Ravens. The Cowboys were then the next year in 2002. Then the series took hiatus. It returned in 2007 with the Kansas City Chiefs. That was the only one Liev Schreiber was not narrating it. Paul Rudd was the narrator. Then it went to the Cowboys, the Bengals in 2011. No Hard Knocks because of the labor strife. Dolphins, Bengals, Falcons, Texans, Rams, Buccaneers, and now the Cleveland Browns in 2018. That is your show roster. Usually starts in early August. All right, thanks to Ron Culver. Thanks for your listening. I am Tony D, SB Nation AM.